should we talk about?
Okay, so we should talk about the chrome of the simulator that I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me see. Okay, the first thing is that I fixed a bug, the bug that I have in the page fault code, where I always wrote the page, right? So that solved more or less the problem. So it turns out that now there's still a high miss rate.
Okay. What is the miss rate?
The miss rate is that it's doing a lot of page faults.
Yeah, but what do you know the number?
Oh. No, I don't know yet because the experiment hasn't finished and I don't have these statistics.
So how do you know it's high or not?
Because it's doing work all the time. I mean, it's not the SSD is constantly doing some work. So right now, what I was able to see is that it is. I mean, the SSD is approximately doing 70 kilobytes per second, which seems to be not very high, right? And it's writing more or less 6 kilobytes per second. I don't remember if it's kilobytes or megabytes, but which makes a big difference. I think it was kilobytes. But
okay. Kilobytes is not bad.
It's not bad, yeah. But, you know, the light is constantly blinking and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know how much is normal or not, right? Because it's something new.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah, anyway, I guess we will see when the experiment is on. We have all the numbers. Okay, so... But, you know, there are still some writing going on, as I said. Before was exactly the same number. That was curious as well in the box. But you know, you have the same amount of reads and the same amount of writes, right? Because for each read, I had one write.
So how many writes per read do you have now?
Now, I guess we can check from those two numbers. That I had 70 kilowatts per second versus 6 kilobytes per second.
Mm.
So I guess it's for each same read I have one write, more or less.
Mm. Which okay. This is scientific, but not bad.
It's not bad.
Mm.
I see. Okay. So So the other problem I had was that I was having a big difference between the time reported by the simulator and the time that, or the time of the trace itself, right? If I subtract the last timestamp with the first timestamp, I have the total amount of time, right?
But you were doing a lot more writes at that time.
No, this experiment is without writes. This is different. Right now, I'm doing two experiments in parallel. I'm using trick machine and I'm using O4 machine.
Okay.
So I'm doing two things separately. Right. So, yeah. So I was, you know, what I did is that I started using a small trace size. I was starting to use 100,000.
Event.
Mm-hmm. And and I was checking everything, and actually I even did gprof to profile the code. So it turns out that the function that is called mostly is the getTime, which is the one that reads the timestamp counter. And that makes sense, right? Because I'm waiting all the time there.
Okay.
Anyway,
your time should not be different, right?
Yeah, actually it was before I had some I had in the script I was using something called PV, which is like a cat, you know, a normal cat for that print in a standard output some file. But the PV also give you status bar, just to know what is the proceed or how much of the file has been processed so far, right? So it could be informed of the service. But it turns out that for some reason, when I used that, the difference was really high. And when I didn't use it, actually the difference was really small. Right, so it seems like that was a problem, right? So now, if I didn't use the PV, the results I had was consistent with the traces I had. So I ran an experiment, a complete experiment, which is supposed to run in half an hour. But again, for some reason, it ran in. I mean, usually it is 18, or the traces says that it's 1800 seconds, and the experiment ran in something like probably 7000 seconds, something like that.
The real seconds, wall clock time.
No.
Simulated time.
The simulated time, and that's the problem.
So we still have some problems.
Yeah.
So now you did you do gprof now?
The problem is that I don't want to do gprof on a big experiment because gprof decreases the performance by a lot.
I see. Now, so could it be that the initial pages that you're reading from memory are going okay, and you know when you did the first 100,000 events?
Could be.
So if it's 100,000 references, in the worst case, you're going to use 100,000 times 4K amount of memory.
But
right.
But in this experiment, I'm not using SSD at all. It's only memory.
Oh, it's only memory.
Yeah. Oh, that's the idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I want is only with memory, do exactly the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. So I couldn't find any bug. So what I was thinking is that probably the processing I'm doing for each page is so big that the time is constantly, I mean, the simulator cannot catch up.
No, but if most of your time you're checking the timestamp counter, then the simulator is catching up, right?
That's true. Yeah, but remember that I didn't do profile in the whole experiment, right? I mean, that was true for the small experiment.
So let's think about what the difference is in the large and small experiment.
Okay.
What is the difference? I think one difference is the size of the trace file.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
I don't think there is, well, there could be another difference, which may be that you're building some data structures that are growing as you process more and more traces, more and more events. Is that, are you searching through some data structure?
Yeah, could be, because I have to check that, that's true. Because the thing is that I have an array in the case of a memory, and there are some operations that I was lazy to optimize, and I'm doing just...
One thing which you can do...
Sequential search.
Yeah, one thing which you can do is when you read, you can time the amount of, the actual value of time it takes to perform a read operation of a single event for a really small file, for a larger file, and over time. Okay, so as you process, how does that time change? Second, you can time how much, what is the delay of actual processing of the event? Does it change as you process more events? So you see, if it is growing, it means that as you process more and more events, the processing is actually increasing. Then maybe it is not a it's still not a bottleneck, the amount of time it takes, it's still not a bottleneck with 100,000 events, but with 1 million events, maybe it becomes a bottleneck. But you need to look at the trend,
right,
how that processing time is growing.
Yeah.
Similarly, for the amount of time it takes to read an event.
That makes sense. Okay, that's a good idea.
So you start monitoring those, then you might get some clues as to what is changing when you move from a small file to a large file.
That makes sense.
Because the reading might also change. It could be that small files are cached completely in memory, whereas large files are not cached, and therefore you need to do more disk I/O, and that's...
I don't think that's an issue. I'm confident in the prefetching, that the prefetching and so on is doing its work okay.
Okay.
So I don't think that actually the file is a problem.
Is that because the disk is like it's not blinking or something like that?
Actually, you haven't checked that, but yeah, actually, you know that there is this command that is called IOTOP that gives you the processes. It's like the processor, but for IO, right? So actually, there is not much IO going on in the disk.
But there should be, because you're reading a large file, right?
It's not a really big file, I would say. So for the time it takes to do the experiment, it's only, I think it's probably 400 megabytes. It's not really big.
400 megabytes?
Yeah.
Okay. And it could be that it's maybe cached already. Because you're repeating the same experiment, and therefore there is no IO required.
Could be.
But for the full trace, it's probably big, right?
It's a full trace.
Oh, it's a full trace.
Yeah,
not for the 100,000. You're talking about the 1,800.
For 1,000 should be less.
Okay.
Yeah. But, actually it's something around 12 million memory records.
12 million records is, and each record is maybe, what, 80 bytes or?
Should be more, but
100,
no.
Yeah?
Yeah, because each character is 1 byte, right? So it should be something like, should be something like, I don't know, 30 bytes?
I said 80 bytes. And
I heard 8 bytes.
8 bytes, yeah. That's 8 bytes.
Okay.
Let's assume 100 bytes. If it's 100 bytes, then it's 120, 1.2, you said 12 million records, right?
I think it's around 12 million records.
If you assume 100 bytes, then it's 1.2 gigabytes. If you assume 30 bytes, then it's 400 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's more like 400 megabytes.
It's around 400 megabytes.
So
I think actually it's less. It's probably 300 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Okay, so I guess maybe the file reading is not a problem, especially if you load it into memory already.
Yeah.
Right, so you could just cache the entire file first before.
Yeah, or I can use some kind of memory file system in case.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bottleneck. Which I don't think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we checked. I think that the major problem we have now is the timing thing, the difference in time. It's really big.
So for that, you need to look at the trends and the growth of the times for processing, and if yes, we might have to optimize that.
So the other thing is that it's... Well, first, the high miss rate, which, based on what we talk about, is not really... Actually, we are not sure if it's a high miss rate or not, right? I guess we have to check the numbers. And the other problem is that the running time is really slow. I mean, it's running takes a long time.
That's probably connected to how you're doing your processing.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Because if your processing is dealing, so let's say, so what are you doing? You're searching through the entire.
I don't know, because there are certain data structures where I have to search for something, for instance, and I was lazy to optimize that, so I just did a sequential
search.
Thinking that probably that operation is not happening very frequently.
But it's happening on each reference, right? Or no?
I don't know. I have to check. I don't think so. Actually, as you say that, I think for each page fault, I'm doing a sorting, for instance, because I need to search the best cost benefit in the replacement algorithm.
Mm.
Right.
I see.
But if those times are not included in the virtual time, is that just affecting...
No, the problem is that it's included in the virtual time, because the virtual time is the clock itself, right?
Well, I mean, so let's say we remove it from virtual time.
We remove it from virtual time.
Any processing you do outside of what should be done in the real system should be taken out, right?
Well, ideally, it wouldn't take that long. I mean, because there are two problems, right? Not only that it's inaccurate, but it's also that it's running really slow, the experiment. So ideally, what would happen is that the experiment would run in exactly the same time of the trace.
If we follow...
Yeah, which is not happening.
No, but that depends if you shape stuff, right?
No, this experiment is memory only.
It's memory only, oh.
So that's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you need to find out how the times are growing. And then you'll know where the problem is.
Okay.
But the sorting stuff, you said it's happening only on page fault. So for this experiment, that should not...
Only on page fault.
For the memory-only experiment, it should not matter.
That's true, yeah.
So for the memory-only experiment, it's happening for each memory reference or it's happening periodically? Do you have any periodic thread going on with the memory-only experiment? You don't need to, right?
I have this running thread, but that thread doesn't do anything because each time it checks,
okay.
It doesn't have to do any work.
Okay, so which means that all you're doing is on each memory reference.
Yeah.
Like all the processing is per memory reference. And
Yeah, actually about the thread, I'm thinking that probably the thread is flushing something, right? What I can do is to
disable
the thread altogether and
see what happens if that makes a difference. Because if that makes a difference, then we would have the problem in the hybrid memory configuration.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I also have to check about the sorting.
Mm-hmm. Sorting or searching or whatever it is that you're, you know, it takes a long computational complexity. I guess you are growing some data structure as you see more events.
Yeah.
And then maybe to grow the data structure, you need to search. So the reason you're sorting on the page fault is because you do not have an already sorted list, right?
Right. Not only that, the other problem is that the cost of all the pages change all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I need to sort each time.
I see.
Yeah, but I probably was doing sorting is because the sorting take n log n, right? But I can search a minimum in n,
mm-hmm.
which means that probably can, or even though it's sequential, right?
Yes. So there are some,
some
computational bottlenecks in your implementation that I guess can be fixed.
Yeah. In the case of LRU, it's constant because the only thing I have to do is take the help.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Also, you can choose to not sort it on page fault, but rather do it periodically. And then on a page fault, you get an approximate.
Approximate good guess.
Yes. Approximately good guess.
Yeah.
That's another possibility. If the page fault search time becomes a bottleneck.
Okay. Yeah, but now that I think about it, I don't need to sort the array, I don't need to find the minimum.
You could find the minimum periodically also, if finding the minimum is still too expensive. Right.
Actually, finding the minimum is easy, right? Each time I access, because the only thing that changes for, no, actually, no. Yeah, actually, yes. So the only thing that changes, that could change, is the dirty bit for one page and also the rank of a page. So each time I access, I can probably check, do on a small check and see if that page is a minimum or something like that. Well,
what you could do is do an insertion, but you also do a periodic decay, right? You do some periodic
decay. Decay of what?
Of the rank.
No, because the rank is zero. You.
Oh, rank is. But in the other case, in the cost based.
The rank is LRU.
Or rank is LRU.
So I don't have to do decay of anything.
I see. Okay, yeah, makes sense. So if rank is LRU, then the rank, then the cost gets updated only when the page becomes dirty.
Dirty?
Or
and it's also accessed.
Or accessed. So. So when it's dirty, so I'm just trying to think if we can maintain a sorted list.
Yeah, that's
all
that's
the
what
time.
I'm trying to think. Yeah.
And you could do sort of an insertion sort, which should take log n time in an already sorted list.
Yeah, can we do something like?
But that would require you to insert take log n time on each memory reference, which
exactly.
Might.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Which. You're doing something on each memory reference, which is time-consuming at this point. That's
yeah.
My intuition because it's growing, right? I mean, the time is growing after as you add more events. So we need to find out what it is that you're doing at each memory reference.
Right. And it's happening after the memory is full or after all the frames are referenced. All
right.
I don't know. I have to check, but it seems like that's
okay. Okay, why don't you, maybe we can communicate over email after you examine your code.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's my only big concern. I think the rest of the code is okay. There are no new bugs that I have found so far.
Okay. Now, about the new data that Akshat said that we would need for the power computations for memory.
Right.
Did you look into that and find out what you have and what you don't have?
No, actually, I didn't check that.
Okay, let's do it right now. So some of it, I think we said that we're going to do it offline, right?
Yeah.
So for instance, the page hit rate and the number of reads and number of writes,
mm-hmm.
we can do all of these offline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The total cycles taken to complete the experiment, I think we have that.
Yeah.
The number of cycles taken to read slash write one line.
Actually, we have that number. No, because we're introducing the flash. Yeah, but we have that, yeah.
The number of cycles taken to read or write one line. Now, that's something I'm waiting for Eric to respond. The maximum bandwidth and the clock cycle. Okay, so which means that most of the numbers we are going to get offline.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, I'm thinking that probably including the total cycles taken to number of reads, right? Because the thing is that we have the first timestamp and we have the last timestamp.
Okay.
But that doesn't work in the case we introduce the flash.
Okay, yeah, because...
Because it could be different, right?
What do you mean? We need the number of writes and number of reads, which actually cannot be done
with post-processing, because number of reads and number of writes get affected by page faults. So we need additional information to add on to the basic number of reads and number of writes.
It's a function of page faults, right?
It's a function of page faults and also the number of flushing events. And whether, so you have all that information, which is how much you flushed at each event and how many page faults and how much data you read in each page fault, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have those information?
Yeah, but I'm thinking that probably, because I also have to do this graph where I calculate the bandwidth, the call bandwidth, right, which is based mainly on page faults. So probably can get that information from the experiment too, right? So we don't have to wait for
okay.
the experiment to run. Yeah, but what we need from the page faults again is only the number of page faults. And
the number of page faults
and if we have to do a write or not.
Correct.
Because if we have to do a write, then we have a read from memory. That's
mm-hmm.
that's okay. That's a point.
And that will change the power.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also the amount of flushing, right? Amount of flushing.
The amount of flushing.
Flushing and cleaning.
Yeah.
Amount of flushing and cleaning, because when you're cleaning, you have to read into memory and write out of memory, right? So
okay.
you need to do that also. So we have the total cycles taken to complete the experiment. The simulated cycles?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have that.
Actually, right now I'm doing everything in nanoseconds. I thought it was easier.
No, I think that's fine. We can convert that into cycles if we need it.
Okay. Actually, this information at least yeah, I have, right now I'm logging all the reads and all the writes, right, for both, including you know, including page faults and including background operations.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess with that we have all this information, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So I don't need to do anything.
But you know, not just how many reads and writes, but also the size of each read and write.
The size of each read and write. No, I don't have that information.
You should have that information because sometimes
okay.
you read in full segments, right? And
yeah, sometimes I'm reading more than one segment or more than one page.
Yeah, and you can always have the reads and writes and pages.
Yeah.
So everything is of the same unit. And we can convert that into bytes and...
Right.
Right, so the other thing is that of... So once you, I don't know how far along you are in the other paper, but once you're done with those experiments, you can do some of these.
I don't think we are
close?
No.
No?
Not looking good.
Is that for ISCA
too?
Yeah. Okay.
QEMU is not helping. And for some reason on Power 6 and I'm getting, I'm definitely not getting good traces because the MRC of one benchmark is pretty much the same as the MRC of another. So that's a coincidence that should not be happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm right now with my code I'm doing things wrong, I'm sure. So yeah.
Did you try the MRC for a third application and it still looks the same?
No, it changes. But I mean, but having the same MRC for the same for different application, that's impossible. Something has to be wrong.
Exactly the same.
Very, very similar.
Yeah, but why cannot it be possible? I don't see why not.
Thing is that I'll show you the figure. It's too much coincidence. It's like something the other is.
But how many benchmarks are like that?
Those two are exactly the same. Well, maybe they are similar, but I really
don't.
It could
be that they are similar. I mean, it's certainly worth investigating if there is something wrong with your
the
code.
The big question is, the tricky question is, how can I check that my tracing is correct? What experiment could I do to check that the tracing? That applies to this project as well.
What?
What could I run to check it? If my tracing is correct. The basics that would be, I run something, I'm sure it's sequential, I should be seeing sequential stuff, for example.
Or backwards.
Or backwards,
going
yeah.
Going forward and backwards.
Yeah, things like that.
Some patterns like that. There is a, you know, in the webpage of TrickWatcher, there is a workload that draw a happy face on on this speed watcher, right? So it draws a happy face in the axis of the disk. So you can do something like that.
But for that you need two dimensions.
Yeah, you have time and you have right?
Oh, I
you
see.
Have time and you have the
okay.
The memory area. So you can do some patterns.
But that's okay because let's say I cannot. The problem is that it was working because before I was getting numbers that made more sense. But I don't have that there because I was modifying the code there, so it's just a bunch of code full of comments, and I don't know how to.
SVN.
Yeah, SVN would be the right solution.
I mean, I would highly recommend that. I mean, especially if you're modifying a huge code base, then really you should use SVN.
Yeah, he's always saying me that. That would make it work. It was working. So
it's not that you for this project, but in the future, right? I mean, it's just more healthy development practice. And will save you a lot of pain, right?
Like now.
Yeah, like now.
And we do have all the system set up for that.
Yeah, the thing is that was on this IBM.
IBM, which you cannot use.
Yeah, I cannot go outside.
I see.
But you can use something like Git, right? That is,
You know me. That's very.
But you know, Git on the machine, right? I mean, you don't need the network for that.
Yeah, I know. There's no pain, there's no fun.
Okay.
Every person has their own view of life. Some people like pain, other people try to avoid it.
So I think we have all the information. Except the memory bandwidth, right?
The memory bandwidth? Yeah, we'll get that from Eric Johnson, hopefully.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's easy.
Yeah, and the only thing missing from my log is the number of pages that I'm writing or reading.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but actually, I could be printing it already, but I will double check.
Okay. So at this point, I'm modifying the motivation section to use the graphs that Ricardo plotted and make all the observations nicely.
Okay.
I had some reminders
for us, for me,
for you.
Okay.
Some details, for instance.
I'll check.
Yeah.
By the way, I need to retrace stuff with anonymous versus non-anonymous. Which for the time being, I guess there are three options. One would be do it fully for all traces. Another would be pick some trace and do it only for that.
Mm-hmm.
another, I don't know, leave it for later, or I don't know, depends on you.
But I thought that you already implemented that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I have to run it and
to
check
run
if it works, if it needs stuff making sense, and retracing.
I see. And you're running this stuff on Eric's machine, or?
No.
You were running it
before? I was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, now I was thinking of Trick or another CS machine called Poppy.
Okay.
Yeah,
we say Poppy. But Eric told you that it's okay to run Poppy?
He told me anything but stop.
Anything but stop?
Yeah.
Why the deal with stop, do you know?
He's running virtual machines there. Virtual box.
He can give you one virtual box.
I don't know.
But a virtual box may not be as powerful as the real machine.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Poppy feels fine. You're the only one, or?
Ariel. Yeah.
And are there any other huge machine?
Not that I know.
I guess Wolf is a big machine, but everybody uses that machine. So I don't think you're allowed to use that one.
You're using Trick.
I'm using Trick.
So I'll use Poppy.
Yeah.
So these traces take time, right? To get?
Yeah.
Can you run multiple instances of QM at the same time?
Yeah, it's useful. But that will affect, I don't know. They will interfere each other, I guess. Caches.
No, I mean, it will run slower,
that's
for sure. Well, the thing, I don't know if it will run slower because we have multiple processes.
No, but I mean that they will interfere in terms of caches, so memory bandwidth, IO, stuff like that.
Caches, memory bandwidth.
So maybe your numbers will...
Not the caches,
maybe your numbers will...
The memory bandwidth.
Your times will...
Could. Yeah.
But but definitely can because it's a user level process. A QM instance is just one user level process.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
Okay,
So for this, to be specific, what do I do with the trace?
I'm trying to see. So the part about anonymous versus non-anonymous is primarily to differentiate from the flash cache network, right? And that would be certainly nice, especially if we send to ISCA, because...
That was already published.
At ISCA,
yeah.
Right. So, I guess for the same... For the same kind of graphs, we can split it up further into kernel and user, like the rank frequency plots for each workload. Instead of having a single line, we have two lines.
Okay.
Or we could have two separate graphs, one for kernel accesses and the other for user. Actually, what we want is file system versus non-file system, right? That's really what we want, rather than kernel or user. So, for instance, this graph and this graph, instead of having one graph, we have two graphs.
Okay.
And also, I was thinking how we can use these phases. I don't know if we can use these phases very easily. So, I'm trying to figure out how to...
But saying that, I mean, what we saw is that during the execution, this application is using this amount of memory for a thing like 3 minutes.
Mm.
Just that argument is enough to say, I mean, we can shut down that other part of memory.
Mm. If it was that we are just powering down the memory and the transition of states is very quick, then we can use this argument very easily.
Yeah.
But what we are talking about is moving that memory into disk and maybe bringing it back, which can be...
Much more than 3 minutes.
Yeah, which can be more than 3 minutes. So we can still use this somehow, I think. I mean, here we have an observation which may not necessarily lead to valuable result for our design, but this is a potential result.
Yeah.
It could mean that maybe the phases, the set of pages that are being used are so much, and then all the pages that are being used are this much, maybe that could tell us something. I don't know. But for the for contrasting with the flash cache paper, what we can have is, instead of having one graph here and one graph here, we could have two graphs where the first graph talks about the anonymous pages, the other graph talks about the file system pages. Right? This sort of same kind of graphs. And then, like I said, if we have a time line, popularity line, and we have low popularity anonymous pages, high popularity anonymous pages, and so on, how does that line look like? You know, how does the ordering look like?
So it would be sufficient just to compare. I guess it's what you're saying, but that what we want to show is that anonymous pages are actually equally or more important than the page cache for some workloads. Right? That's the conclusion we want to.
That's what the flash cache guys are claiming, that anonymous pages are important and file system pages are not important.
File system pages are not important.
Because that's what they put on the flash, and the rest they keep in memory.
And swap.
No swap.
I saw they wanted to extend the page cache.
They wanted to extend the page cache to put those pages in
exactly.
Flash, and then they want to keep everything else in memory.
No, because I was thinking in our case we are also moving the anonymous pages to flash. Yeah, I'm trying. Well, things that I was thinking of this flash cache as a swap system with the flash.
You can think of it that way, but the main point of the flash cache was to put on flash the file system pages.
I see.
And keep the rest in memory.
But you see that if we have this configuration where we have swap and we have flash, then we are giving priority to the page cache because we are giving the anonymous pages the backstore of the
just a minute,
the backstore of the of a disk. Right?
Yeah, but forget about the disk for the flash cache.
Okay,
so let's assume there is no disk.
Okay.
What they want to do is to store the pages of the file system instead of in the disk, in the flash.
Okay.
And everything else stays in memory. That's the idea.
Okay. So we want to do the reverse case, saying, okay, but the cache is important, and for that reason, we prefer to have anonymous pages in flash or something like that.
We want to say that, well, our system is more flexible because you can put whatever you want in the flash,
okay.
Not just file system pages. And we have to show some scenarios where we demonstrate that there are low popularity anonymous pages also.
Okay.
And there are high popularity file system pages also.
Okay.
So which means which are those five high popularity file system pages are important to keep in memory, is low popularity anonymous pages can actually be stored on disks.
Okay.
Which the flash cache does not allow.
Okay.
And our system allows. Right. I don't know if we get that observation or not, but that's the point of doing the more fine-grained rank frequency and page frequency plot.
Yeah, that seems similar to the CFS They don't
have
the data.
Yeah.
L2ARC, right?
Yeah, ZFS, L2ARC is
all of the other thing, and the other thing in these flash cache papers is that they don't mention explicitly, but it seems to me like each time they want to write to a file, they first go to the flash, which is a really bad idea.
Yeah, because they write to the cache to copy of the...
Yeah, and that's a really bad idea. And in that case, the L2ARC is better.
Mm-hmm. But we are also doing the same thing, that we are writing to flash. If we write
we
to
are writing
flash.
To flash, but if we want to write to disk, I mean, if we write to a page, we don't necessarily write to flash, unless the page is really popular. No, I mean, the page is memory, and we write to flash only if the page is unpopular.
Yes.
So we don't have that restriction.
Yeah. So I need to meet with Jianling and George now. But
we have a meeting at 2, right?
Yeah, we have a meeting.